Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me yet again today. I really, truly do appreciate it. We've got a great show for you, and so let's get to it, shall we? My guest today is an author, speaker, and a publishing entrepreneur. Back in 2005, from a spare bedroom in his house, he started Advantage Media Group. Now, over 12 years later, Advantage has grown from that bedroom to an international publishing company that has helped over 1,000 busy professionals publish their books. Then, in 2016, Advantage launched a historic partnership with Forbes to create Forbes Books, business book publisher for top business leaders. Now, let's hack Adam Witte. If you've been scouring the internet looking for the perfect conference calling solution for your small business, then look no further, because I want to introduce you to Vast Conference. You can get set up in less than a minute, and you will quickly learn that this is the best alternative to a free conference call service. Plus, there's absolutely no obligation. Flat rate, toll-free, and operator-assisted conferencing call service options. With quick and easy calls, you can host a conference call fast with dedicated conferencing numbers. Plus, they offer toll-free international conferencing from over 70 countries. Stop searching right now and try Vast Conference, because you can get a 30-day free trial with Vast Conference for the best conference calling service in the business. Visit conferencecalling.com/trial offer. Last year alone, they supported over 1 billion minutes of conference calls. Now's your chance. Go to conferencecalling.com/trial offer. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How are you?
I am doing phenomenal, I think you could say. As we were just discussing, it is holidays in Canada and down in the US today where you are. But here we are working. And we didn't even really realize it was a holiday when we scheduled this. But I guess this just says a lot about these entrepreneur people.
We never stop working.
We do sometimes. But yeah, holidays are they're strange because I don't always notice them. But I think this is going to be fun, and it's going to be worth this holiday. So let's jump into it, shall we?
I love it.
All right. Adam, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Boy, that's a big question. So I would say it is my ambition and drive coupled with my stick-to-itivity. Now, don't look that one up in the dictionary. Walt Disney actually created that term, stick-to-itivity. And, you know, so many entrepreneurs, they start a business and things don't go right immediately and they turn, or, you know, Silicon Valley likes to call it pivot. And by no means am I saying you shouldn't pivot and turn when you need to. But you're going to get a lot of negative feedback when you start a business, because, you know, starting a business is really, really hard. And so having this ambition and drive is critical, but having the stick-to-itivity is perhaps the most important thing. And look, I have a lot of flaws. I mean, I'm a very imperfect person. But the one thing that I'm pretty darn good at is I'm just like a rabid dog on a bone. When I have a dream, when I have a vision, when I see something I want, I'm not going to take no for an answer, and I'm going to outwork everyone, and I'm going to stick to it to make sure I achieve the outcome that I envision. So that might be a long answer to a short question, but I think channeling ambition and drive and sticking to it, as Walt Disney would say, stick-to-itivity, that's probably what I would attribute as my greatest success factor.
I love it. Stick-to-itivity. I really didn't want to say that because I thought I was going to screw it up, but This is interesting. And this drive that you speak of, Adam, it seems to be a thread that sort of runs through a lot of these conversations. How do you, like, when you mentioned sort of in the startup world, Silicon Valley, they talk about pivoting and stuff. Like, do you, when you get your eye on a prize and you do not quit no matter what, does that mean that you do not pivot, that you just go straight ahead from where you planned at the beginning? Or does it just mean it doesn't matter what gets in your way, you're going to either go around it, over it, through it?
Well, so a great entrepreneur, and he was so great because I can't remember who it was, but there was a great entrepreneur that once said, if we're going to go with the facts and data, let's go with the facts and data. And if we're going to go with opinions, we'll go with mine. And I love that quote because a lot of entrepreneurs will pivot because of the opinions that others have are contrary to theirs. So they'll pivot because they're getting negative feedback or somebody's telling, I don't think this will work, or I don't really like this idea. And I think that the important thing to remember as an entrepreneur is if you're going to pivot, which can be very healthy, are your customers telling you you need to pivot? Is the marketplace and the changing trends in the market telling you that you need to pivot because the facts and data show that? Or is it just some person or many people with an opinion that's different from yours? And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs, we have so many people coming at us and everybody has an opinion. And when we start hearing opinions that are negative, oh, you need to do this instead of this, or you should change your business to that, it can be real easy to follow those opinions because we perhaps want to please people. And so I think that when it comes to the stick-to-itivity, it all goes back to if the data and facts are telling you that you need to change, then you should change. But if it's just a bunch of people's opinions that are telling you that you should change, if you truly believe in your heart that the business that you have and the value that your business brings to the world is genuine and needed, then a lot of times what prevents great businesses from truly becoming great is that entrepreneur, you know, lets go and changes way too early.
So we're 5 minutes into the conversation, Adam, and you've sort of been alluding to or directly mentioning these external forces, external people, whether it's their contrary opinions and beliefs, and we all know the sayings about everyone has an opinion, but also at the beginning, you said people with their negativity. Mm-hmm. And that is a super huge hurdle for us starting up anything. Is that sort of negativity that can be around us? Do you have what's your opinion on why that negativity is, like, what causes people to be so negative to people who want to just start something from scratch?
So I'm going to use a word that's really important, emotional resilience. So if you are going to start a business and scale it up, right? So most entrepreneurs, when they dream of starting a business, they have big dreams. They want to build a large organization that's world-class, that, as Steve Jobs famously said, makes a dent in the universe, right? You know, that's most entrepreneurs, not all, but most. And so if you are able to successfully scale up a business, and, you know, scaling up is taking it from 10,000 to 1 million, and from 1 million to 10 million, and 10 million to 100 million, and then from 100 million to 1 billion, right? If you're going to continue to climb that mountain and scale a business, as the business gets bigger, as the business gets more complex, you're going to have more opinions, you're going to have more feedback, and it's going to get much, much easier to get bogged down in, I'll call it, negativity, right? Here's all the things that are wrong with the business. Here's all the things that we need to fix. Here's all the things that we need to change. Here's all the people on your team that are in the wrong seats. Here's all your people on the team that should be fired, right? And then you go get feedback from customers. You get feedback from your own team members or employees. And all of that feedback, you know, when people give feedback, 9 out of 10 times the feedback is negative, not positive. Because when people are happy, they just don't open their mouth. When people are upset or when they're not happy, that's when they really get talking. As you scale up and grow a business, you're going to have a lot of negative feedback coming to you. And it's not just from your customers and your team members. It's going to also be from your family, could be your spouse, it could be your kids, right? You know, climbing this mountain is really, really hard. And the people that love us most don't want to see us get hurt. And sometimes the way that they think they're helping us is actually hurting us by giving us negative feedback because they think that they're going to prevent us from getting hurt. And so you've got to have a mindset that is truly made of steel, where if you believe in what you're doing, and if you believe in the mission and the vision of your entrepreneurial dream, and you have data and facts to support that, you know, you're on the right track, then you've got to have a tremendous amount of emotional resilience to keep the stinking thinking, the negative talk out of your mind so it doesn't derail you.
This vision and mission that you have been speaking of, and how we all, or most of us, have it when we start off on this path. 12 years ago, the story goes that you started Advantage Media from your spare bedroom in your house. At that time, 12 years ago, Adam, what was your vision and mission?
When I started the business, and I'm embarrassed to say this, my vision and mission was to be self-employed. And if you think about that for a minute, John, that's not very inspiring to anybody else except for me. And so the first couple years, I was able to grow the business from zero to $1 million, $1.5 million in revenue. And, you know, for a young guy like me at the time, you know, that was pretty exciting. I felt like I was living high cotton. I was really doing something big. But it wasn't until, you know, year five or six where we just kept hitting a wall. You know, we were doing $2 million in revenue and I wanted to go to $10 million. And we just kept hitting this wall. We couldn't seem to get over this hurdle. And what I realized the hard way was that so long as my mission was to be self-employed, be an entrepreneur, hopefully make a lot of money, that was good enough for me, but it wasn't good enough for the other 15 people that were working with me. And so I went through this really deep exercise where, you know, in some ways I kind of found my business religion. And I realized why I was put on this earth. And I realized why my business was meant to exist. And I created a very compelling mission and a very compelling vision for the future and started sharing that with the people that I worked with. Now, not everybody bought into it. And for the people that didn't buy into it, that didn't have the same excitement for that mission and vision, you know, some of those people ended up leaving the organization. And it was probably best for them, and it was probably best for me too. But some of them stayed. And then as we started recruiting and hiring people, what we found is that there were a lot of people that wanted to come and work with us because they too believed in the vision and the mission of our business. Now, you know, today our company, Advantage Forbes Books, we're one of the largest independent business book publishers in the country. And our core purpose, that's the word that we use, you know, kind of for vision. Our core purpose is to help our members, those are our authors, we call them members, to help our members share their stories, passion, and knowledge to help others learn and grow. You see, John, when I quote unquote found religion, what I realized is that the right book in the right person's hands at the right time could literally change a person's life forever. And I believe that if we created a business where we were helping business professionals create how-to books that could help people at various stages of life, if we could help them channel their stories, their passion, their knowledge into really cool books that could help the end customer make better decisions in their life, whether they're financial decisions, whether they're health decisions, whether they're management or leadership decisions, if they're a manager or a leader in a business, we really believe that we could quote unquote make that dent in the universe. And so I created this compelling core purpose, and that's all I would talk about was the core purpose of the business and what the future would look like when we achieved that core purpose. And when I made the core purpose of the business about much more than me, funny thing happened, John. The business started to grow and we were able to cut through and break down the wall to that $10 million revenue level. And now we've got another big goal that we're pushing up against. And it's making that compelling vision, mission, what we call the core purpose, something that everybody in the team can get behind.
Now, before we get too far with Adam, I just want to stop and ask you one question. What drives the value of your business? Is it customers, contracts, culture? To really, truly understand this, we need insights into our customers, clients, and markets. To do this simply and beautifully, we need Typeform. Typeform is versatile. You can use it at every stage of your funnel, to research, for lead generation, sell stuff with Stripe integrations, tutorials, quizzes, and even FAQs. The results don't lie. Typeform has a 57% completion rate on surveys. That's against the industry average of 20%. So what is the difference, you might ask? Typeform's one question at a time interface. It creates a memorable user experience. You can use images, animated GIFs, and even video to express yourself more fully. Remember, what you ask matters, and how you ask is everything. Sign up for free today at typeform.com/hack, and there's a special offer for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners like you. You can upgrade to their pro account, and you'll get 30% off for the first 6 months. That's typeform.com/hack. Now, let's get back to the conversation. This is interesting. And the way I see it, businesses grow through two things that need to both be implemented, which is strategy and then tactics. So the strategy here, I would see, is you creating this real business vision and making it more than just about you that allowed you to break through these barriers. What were some of the actual tactics, though, that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just a Word document that you can write and make it your vision. And just if you say it over and over again and your team's just all of a sudden going to act differently, like, what were some tactics that from this change of mindset for the whole team and knowing that they were all now equally involved, what tactically changed about it?
Yeah. So from a strategic perspective, you know, the first thing we did, as you just mentioned, was we created a vision and a mission. Again, we called it a core purpose that a lot of people could get excited about and get behind. And so then we said, okay, if our core purpose is to help our members share their stories, passion, and knowledge to help others learn and grow, then the more authors, we call them members, the more authors we can help, the more impact that we can have, right? So there we go. The reason to grow is to have more impact. The reason to grow isn't just to make more money. It's really to have a bigger impact. And if you truly believe in the core purpose of the business, then you would want to see us grow. So we created the compelling vision. We created a strategy behind the vision. But then to what you just asked, you had a lot of tactical plans that had to be executed flawlessly in order for that strategy and the vision to come true. So, man, when it comes to the tactics, there are so many things, but I'll start with a big one. And the big one is just building a team of A players that are truly exceptional at what they do and are fulfilled professionally by being a part of the mission of the business. So one of the things that I learned the hard way is that the cost of keeping a B player on your team is significant. The cost of not having somebody that's truly exceptional in a key role in your business, it can stunt the growth prospects of the business pretty quickly. So from a tactical perspective, the first thing that we did is we said, okay, we need to create true job descriptions for every position that the company needs. And not just what does the person in the job do, but what are the key competencies? So we said there can be no more than six, but what are the key competencies that an A player would need to have to excel in this individual job? And then we created a recruiting and hiring plan if we didn't currently have somebody in the company that could fulfill those competencies and get that job done. And in some cases, there were people on the team that maybe couldn't fit the needs of the business with those competencies defined, so we had to exit them from the business. So from a tactical perspective, there were lots. But if we just focus for the topic of people, okay, we created job descriptions that actually told what the person did and defined the key competencies of the person that would excel in that position. Then we did an inventory of every single person in the team and what are their core competencies, and then also what are their deficiencies. So we said, okay, now let's make sure we have the right people on the bus. Now let's make sure those right people are in the right seats on the bus. And then inevitably what we realized, John, was there were a lot of empty seats on the bus that were really important seats. So now we had to go find those people. We could talk about this for days. and you can hear the passion in my voice. I could talk about it for days. But just people in and of itself, there were so many tactical execution elements that were part of the strategy of creating a world-class organization with A player. We call it A players only.
It's almost like you started a whole new company, though. So it's like you would have had to go through your bus and see who was there, and people might not fit this new company and the new way you wanted to go. But now everybody who gets hired from here on goes through the filter of, are they the right person for this new company?
So what you'll find is if a company can truly scale and grow from, you know, 1 million to 5 million to 10 million to 25 to 50 to 100 and so on down the line, the company will have to almost reinvent itself at points along that journey. When it comes to people, there is an adage that the people that got you to where you are not necessarily the people that will get you to where you want to go. But the same is true with your strategy as a business. The strategy may have to fundamentally change. The economic model of your business may have to change as well. So you make a great point, John, that if an entrepreneur truly wants to enjoy the journey, and the desire for that journey is to take a really small business and make it a really big business, then one, you got to get real comfortable with change. And number two, you actually have to expect that over time there will be multiple points where there will be some radical reinvention that will happen within the business.
And how through this process have you utilized coaches, mentors, consultants?
So these people have been invaluable. My goal as a CEO is to be the dumbest guy in the room. And that means that the people on my team should be more competent than I am in their area of expertise. So if I know more about finance than my chief financial officer, then my ego got in the way and I didn't hire the right person, right? If my chief marketing officer doesn't know more about marketing than me, same problem, right? So my goal is truly to be the dumbest guy in the room. If you take mentors and coaches and advisors, what you're doing is you're creating a support ring around you. And the desire for mentors, coaches, and advisors is that these are people that have walked the path in life that you have not yet walked. And if you utilize them correctly, will have advice, insights, and experience share that can help you and prevent you from stepping in potholes that you otherwise probably would walk into, right? So I have, in our organization, we have a board of advisors. So we have five entrepreneurs and CEOs that are on this board of advisors. One is a CFO at a Fortune 500 company. One was the CEO of the largest home remodeling company in America. One is a top mergers and acquisitions attorney. And one of them was a from scratch entrepreneur that built a large software business and exited that business. So what I did is I put together a board of advisors of people that had experience sets, skill sets, competencies, and also Rolodexes, contacts, if you will, that were different than mine and were complementary to what I needed in my journey. When I was a 16-year-old kid, John, I wrote a letter to a guy in Orlando. I grew up in Central Florida. And when I was a kid, I wanted to run an NBA basketball team. That was my dream. I wanted to be the general manager of an NBA basketball team. And there was a guy in Orlando, Florida named Pat Williams, who is the founder of the Orlando Magic. And so I thought, well, gee, if I want to run an NBA basketball team, I should probably try to learn from somebody that's already done it. So I wrote Pat Williams a letter, and to my surprise, he wrote me back, and that was 18 years ago. And Pat Williams, the founder of the Orlando Magic, is a mentor, an advisor, and a friend, and that mentorship is now 18 years in the making. And until he or I pass, that mentorship will continue for the rest of my life. So I can't say enough about the importance of surrounding yourself with people that are smarter than you and having a very humble attitude, right? As soon as you think you know more than everybody else, as soon as you start thinking that you've got it all figured out, you're going to find that you don't.
So the fact that that changed sort of the direction of your life and probably gave you the courage to constantly be asking people for help or guidance, the fact that you could write somebody a letter when you were young and have them actually respond and have that shock you, does this push you to now sort of pay it forward and make sure that you are also being an advisor to younger people coming up?
This definitely motivates me to pay it forward. So I run a business that to some people is very large and perhaps beyond their comprehension of what's possible. But if you compare my business to other businesses, like we're a tiny little ant, right? So the people that I'm seeking mentorship are guys and gals that have built businesses far bigger than mine that I feel like, well, gee, I could probably learn something from them. The people that I'm mentoring are entrepreneurs that are either, you know, smaller, kind of in incubation mode, or maybe you're just starting out. So I am on the board of two nonprofits. I'm a mentor at my alma mater, the place where I went to college. And I have probably three or four guys who are entrepreneurs, kind of started up recently or a couple years in, that I'm advising for free with no expectation of anything in return. Because here's the deal. If you don't pay it forward, then the next generation that comes after you will be extinct. And that's not what we want. We want our parents and grandparents to educate us so we can then educate our children. And then we want to teach our children to then educate their children, who would be our grandchildren. I mean, that's how societies evolve. And that's really the history of humanity. So as an entrepreneur, you're going to be fortunate. There's a lot of people that are going to help you along the way. And I am a firm believer that you've got to pay that back by helping another entrepreneur along the way too. And if the cycle continues to repeat itself, you know, entrepreneurship will grow and all boats will be able to be lifted with that great tide.
Very well said. And this really rolls us nicely into our final question, Adam, if we could. It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. And I mean, you 12 years ago, you started in a spare bedroom just to become self-employed. And now, as you just stated to us, you've created a business that is beyond the size and scope that most people can imagine ever getting to run a business. Yet you also mentioned how there's businesses that are staggeringly larger than yours. And I think every business owner in the world has that. So meaning that we're always sort of pushing forward, and sometimes we don't always necessarily stop to see the personal successes that we have because we're looking to the next one, which I agree we need to a certain degree. But rather than look forward for the next couple of minutes, Adam, I would love it if you could stop, turn around, and look behind you. From everything before you even started Advantage Media Group, and to starting in that room to become self-employed and building and transforming the business to what it is today, can you tell me highs, lows, wins, losses? How do you feel about this whole kind of crazy journey until now?
So the first thing that I would say, John, I got a piece of advice many years ago that I follow to this day, and I would encourage every entrepreneur to follow it as well. And the piece of advice was this. I was told, Adam, if you spend your entire life comparing up, you will always be disappointed. If you spend your entire life comparing down, you will always be grateful. And, you know, let's talk about entrepreneurs for just a minute. If I compare myself to Bill Gates, and Elon Musk and Steve Jobs, then I'm disappointed today. And there's a good chance that 5 and 10 years from now, I still may be disappointed. If you put me up next to them, a lot of people would say, gee, Adam, you didn't do a whole lot with your life. If, on the other hand, you compare down and I compare myself to the entrepreneur with three people that's still working out of the spare bedroom in their apartment, then boy, I feel not only grateful, but I feel like I accomplished a lot. I think that while I have big ambitions and while I have dreamed a very big dream and continue to dream very big dreams, and I want every single person listening to this podcast to dream huge, mammoth-sized dreams, I just want you to remember that along the way, as you self-reflect, if you compare down, you're going to be grateful, you're going to be happy. If you compare up, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be sad. And as an entrepreneur, you need to bring positive energy and excitement to what you do every day. And feeling like you're a disappointment because you're comparing up doesn't help you along your journey. As I look back along the way, I can tell you this, John, that one of the big mistakes that I made early on, and I've since corrected it, is that I became very focused on the goal. I became very focused on the end destination. And I learned that the true joy of life is the journey. It's not the destination. Because, you know, we set these goals and we achieve the goals. And when we achieve them, it doesn't satisfy or fulfill us as much as we thought it would. You know, it's almost like a surprise, right? We had spent years dreaming of accomplishing whatever it is we wanted to accomplish. And then once we finally accomplish it, we're like, oh, well, that was kind of cool, but what's next? You know, what I learned is that if I enjoyed the journey, if I really savored the person that I had to become to get there, it was much more fulfilling to me of a journey than the actual destination of doing it. So that's been one thing that I can tell you is significant as I reflect on my journey. The other thing that I'll tell you is that to achieve great things as an entrepreneur, it's all about working together. You cannot do it on your own, and you have to build teams of people that collaborate, and you have to create a system where everybody wins together. And when I look back at what we've accomplished thus far, I realize that all of the success we've had has been people buying in, working together, supporting each other, and together as a team achieving really great things. It's not been individual solo performers. And of all the things that I'm most grateful for as a CEO and as a leader, it is building a team of people that together are kind of accomplishing more than they ever would have thought they could accomplish by themselves.
Very, very, very well said. All right, Adam, throughout this conversation, we have got to talk all about your business and what you've turned it into. Could you now specifically tell the listener who it's for, what it can do for them, and then where they should be going to track you down online?
Absolutely. So Advantage Forbes Books is one of the largest independent business book publishers in the country. So if you're a CEO or an entrepreneur or a business leader and have ever thought about or dreamed about writing and publishing a book, we may be the place for you. But even more important than that, we have developed a reputation for being the authority marketing company. And John, that means that we work with CEOs and entrepreneurs all around the world to help market and position them as the authority and expert in their space. Starts for many of them with a book, but there's so much more beyond just the book. So we have a large publishing business. We have a marketing agency as well, and a PR and media business too. So you can learn more about our company at ForbesBooks.com. And for all of your listeners, we have a gift. You will not be surprised, John, that I am an author myself. And one of the books that I wrote is titled Lead the Field. And the book is very short. It's very easy to read. It's very simple, but it teaches entrepreneurs and CEOs how they can become the authority in their field, how they can become the go-to guy or gal that everybody wants to work with. And That book we're making available for free to all of your listeners. So you can visit forbesbooks.com/hack, H-A-C-K, obviously Hack the Entrepreneur, forbesbooks.com/hack, where they can request a free copy of the book.
I love it. I love it. forbesbooks.com/hack. AdamWitty.com is a personal website and blog if you want to follow up with Adam at all. And the link to Lead the Field again is that forbesbook.com/hack. It's free. Go get it now. It's the place to be. All right, Adam. It's been absolutely a pleasure to have you stop by today. And just, I thank you so much for sharing so openly. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it is really, really awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John.
All right. That was a lot of fun. And who doesn't love free books? Seriously, forbesbooks.com/hack. I've grabbed my copy. Have you? I'd say it's worth it. All right. As much fun as that conversation was to go through, we've reached my favorite part of the show. The part where we get to go back through the conversation and find that one thing that Adam said. You ready to do this? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
As you scale up and grow a business, you're going to have a lot of negative feedback coming to you. And it's not just from your customers and your team members. It's going to also be from your family. Could be your spouse. It could be your kids, right? You know, climbing this mountain is really, really hard. And the people that love us most don't want to see us get hurt. And sometimes the way that they think they're helping us is actually hurting us by giving us negative feedback, because they think that they're going to prevent us from getting hurt.
And that's the hack. Adam, Adam, Adam. This is big, and this is really, really good. I've actually never heard it put in these terms, but every one of you out there listening knows somebody or has had somebody around them or currently has someone or people around them that provide negative feedback towards their goals, towards their visions, towards their dreams of building this business or living this life of freedom or entrepreneurship that they want to live. We all know this. I know this. And I've only thought of it in negative terms before, thinking that people just don't understand. And so that's not their, they want to take the safe way. And so they're going to say that this is wrong or they're jealous of us. But no, Adam says, and this makes perfect sense, it's because they love us and they don't want to see us get hurt. And if you don't have this sort of entrepreneurial mindset, these brains that work in this weird way that want to build things out of nothing and take these chances or do these crazy things, then they think that they're helping us. They think that they're helping us by showing negativity towards it and then maybe stopping us from somehow getting hurt or getting harmed or failing in any sort of way. That's profound. It's an interesting way to perceive it. And so you won't necessarily go at the negativity in a negative way, if that makes sense. Yes, that does. So this is an interesting thing to know about the people around you. And so you can sort of reposition things to make sure that they're not scared for you anymore. Then you can get the support. And if you can't get the support, you're still going to have people around you that are negative, and you need to be resilient and you need to push yourself through it. Adam's told you from the spare bedroom to where he is today, which is a long ways from there, he's faced negativity. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot when you're just getting started, but it actually increases the larger you get. But you got to stay true to your vision, to your goal, and to what it is you want to accomplish. Adam, thank you so very, very much. All right, that was an absolute blast. I'm so glad that you decided to stop by. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. As always, head over there, get onto that email list if you are not on there yet. Trust me, you won't regret it. It's a great place to be. There's lots of us over there. And yeah. Make sure to check out forbesbooks.com/hack if you would like to access Adam's book or follow up with him with anything you've heard him talk about today. You can find him over at atomwitty.com. All right. It's been a blast. Thanks again. I really, truly, truly do appreciate you stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.